owner of the Mystery Voice. Angela, the journalist from London. Angela, who had been contacted by Val, the aunt. The aunt in hospital, in a coma. Now this tall, imposing woman stands masking the dying log fire in Valmai's house, facing her audience of three, while outside the night spits. And of the audience, it is Hugh that nods in acknowledgement of the facts. For all along he knew it was sinister. And it is, in that somehow it involves Martin Rushton, Secretary of State for Wales.
Burnt by Nigel Baldwin, with Dennis Waterman as Milky.
I hadn't heard, and I felt sure I would. It all seemed so important. So I came up to find out where she was. I'm very sorry to hear what's happened. Val and I have a mutual friend.
Hang on a minute.
Sorry, I didn't catch your name.
Milky.
Milky?
Yeah, all right, let's leave it.
You weren't the little kid who did the adverts for the chocolate bars.
Very humorous.
Well, you do wear glasses.
What do you write on your newspaper? The jokes?
Financial affairs, actually.
I don't understand.
Why Val wanted someone she knew best. She also thought she could trust a woman more, and so Gemma put her on to me. And when she said, would I be interested in a scandal involving the Secretary of State for Wales, I said yes, if it could be substantiated. I am a journalist, after all.
We all have our crosses.
What?
Just thinking aloud.
Valmai said she would get it substantiated and phone me back. She had obtained a copy of a letter from inside the Welsh office, which, if leaked, she claimed would be political dynamite. Somehow, Rushton was implicated. She phoned me to tell me the day before yesterday, but I had to dash off to Madrid for the economic summit.
Oh, nice work if you didn't get it.
The letter. What was in it?
I don't know, Beth. She wasn't saying over the phone. Just that it involved Rushton and was very, very tasty.
That's it, then. Val's phone is tapped. Rushton finds out there's about to be a scandal and sends in the heavy mob to recover whatever it is that's going to implicate him. I mean, we found no letter here. And simultaneously, they put the frighteners on Val.
Why on earth should her phone be tapped?
Ah, don't be so naive, girl. She's a political activist and a prominent campaigner for the Welsh language. That, in the eyes of the police, is a potential terrorist.
Oh, God, who
would for Christ's sake, if they can bug the phones of a trade unionist, they can bug Val's phone,
or mine, or yours.
Hold on, quiet, please. You're barking up the wrong tree, if you don't mind my saying so. That's far too simplistic.
Meaning?
It would have made no difference if her phone was tapped or not. She always took the precaution of phoning from a public call box. No one could have known she'd phoned me.
That same night, some other place, three voices, conspirators perhaps, lay plans for the Englishman. For maybe he can be of use, maybe he can countenance their cause. Thus later, in the Red Lion, in the early hours, in a bed, in a room upstairs, a banging interrupts the Englishman's dreams.
What? Hang on. Who is it?
Don't get up.
Who is it? Just hold up. Beth, is it you? Oh, blimey, it's 5 to 6.
No, Beth.
Hey?
Remember,
you mean the Three Stooges on the hill?
10 o'clock. Same place. The castle. Someone will pick you up. Alone. No surprises. And I won't be there.
Hello? Hello?
A diwedd araf nawr am yr is-etholiad. Yn ôl yr arolwg sydd newid y gyhoeddiad...
Rhys, I may be reasonably tall, but I'm not fat. I mean, that's just too much.
I need building up. Do you the world a good boy.
What's all that rabbit on the radio?
It's something about the election. Nationalists losing ground, they reckon. I'm not exactly sure. I don't speak Welsh very well.
You're a nationalist?
Nah. Too inward looking for me. Huh? The only thing that nationalists have in common is nationalism. It's a recipe for chaos.
Smy,
Pauline, in the kitchen.
My number one fan.
Pauline?
Yeah. What's she say?
She wanted coffee.
What does she do?
Unemployed.
Someone told me she was a junkie.
No, I wouldn't know about that. She uses them. So do a lot of kids around here.
Well, the hard stuff.
Pauline's doing no harm to anyone but herself. Everyone here really liked her until, well, she went off the rails.
Off the rails?
She's been madly in love with Beth's brother for years. They had a little thing together, and when he dropped her...
Hugh?
Well, she sort of had a breakdown. It's unfair, really. Hugh keeps her tagging on as though he might rekindle the flame, but yeah, I'll tell you some other time.
Mm-hmm. I'm Betty Cipriotis. I'm Danae.
If you want more tea or toast, just call.
Cheers, mate. See you, my Pauline.
Fluent in the language already, are we? What are you here for? Something to do with Valmai?
Just a favour to Beth.
I really like Valmai.
So it seems as everyone else.
Who'd want to do a thing like that?
Not your terrorist friends.
What friends are those?
Here, Pauline. Do me a favour, will you? Say, someone will pick you up, alone, no surprises.
What?
Someone will pick you up, no surprises.
What for?
Oh, just say it. Someone will pick you up, no surprises, please.
Bloody English, they're all stupid. Someone will pick you up, no surprises. And now what?
Well, that's blown that theory.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to pick up Sharon's car from the garage, honk up Reese's enormous breakfast, and go and see the Three Stooges.
Let me come with you.
They didn't ask to see you.
Beth tells me you have a criminal record.
So?
Political, was it?
Does that give me more credibility? Because I've been in trouble with the police?
Depends.
Oh, is that why you're being so much more pleasant to me this morning, because of what Beth told you? I could be a rapist.
I'm often hasty in forming opinions.
I hear that you and Pauline used to be an item.
So what?
I don't know, so what? I just find it interesting, that's all.
Angela's still here. She'd like to know about you meeting Milwyr y Ddrae.
Yeah. Well, tell her I charge a fee for interviews.
Beside a small grey lake behind a campsite littered with empty caravans, before it's too early yet for the countryside to be bloated with tourists, having been directed there from Castell Bryn Bras, once again he encounters...
the Marx Brothers.
Identities concealed, standing there like three sages from the mystical past.
No baseball bats. They must have realised what a harmless and generally charming chappy I am.
Ask him questions. Give him orders. Treat him like a go-between. Until he gets impatient.
Look, don't order me about. I came up here on my own volition, you know.
Tell her. Tell the journalist everything you know.
How do you know she's a journalist? How do you know she's here?
Tell her. About us.
And tell the police.
I'm not going to the police, and that's that. If you're so keen for them to know you had nothing to do with recent events, you tell them. Exactly. You can't. But tell me something. If it wasn't you, if you had nothing to do with Valmai...
He didn't.
Well, don't tell me it was the Secretary of State.
Who stands to gain if the Nationalists get bad press?
Everyone but the Nationalists. Don't be stupid. And another thing. Why doesn't your mate, Harpo here, say anything? Is he dumb or what? Or is it that I know his voice? Or should I say, her voice? Pauline? You might not have a list, but you're one of them. Pauline?
Her name isn't Pauline.
Prove it. Well, at least we know it's a she. Well, come on then, kid. Why have you brought me up here? What have you got to tell me?
They said, who stands to gain if the Nationalists are elbowed out? And I said, I haven't got the foggiest. And they said, try firms that build holiday homes for a start, like SBL. You know, the one that Shonid told us about. And I said, don't be stupid. I mean, why do they need to go to all that trouble discrediting you lot when all they need to do is bog off to the Secretary of State and say overrule the Council's decision? But then it twigged. What if Valmai had been passed a letter which SBL had sent to Rushton, asking him to reverse the Council's decision? Some sort of bribe, maybe. And if that became public... Well, it's corruption, isn't it? They don't call me Philip Marlowe for nothing.
It's not a feasible theory.
Why not?
Because it's public knowledge. People know that Rushton reversed the decision.
I didn't.
Besides, it's hardly the political dynamite or big news that Val talked about.
The way you talk, you'd think things like that were an isolated incident.
With Rushton?
Rushton had no connection with SBL. We investigated it. He's one of the rare breed who declares his business interests.
Maybe you didn't dig deep enough. Politicians are easily manipulated.
There was that building development in Cheshire.
Exactly, and God knows where else. It's always happening.
What, in Cheshire?
Go into any Masonic lodge and see a councillor shaking hands with a builder and ask what deal's being made.
What in Cheshire?
Same sort of thing. Massive development was given the go-ahead about 3 years ago.
Just before the SBL business.
After originally being turned down by the council. It was a hung administration and the council changed hands when one of them died.
Committed suicide and miraculously the decision was overturned. Look into the bank accounts of a few of that lot and I bet that you'd find that they're very healthy.
Cynical.
It does happen.
It's corruption.
Only if you get found out.
This company in Cheshire, was that SBL as well?
Don't know. I don't think so.
Where was it? What town? And when exactly?
Why?
Because the bedfellow of coincidence, Sunshine, is conspiracy. You know what's bothering me?
What?
Why these soldiers of the Red Dragon or whatever are giving me ideas. Leads. I mean, what's to stop them sniffing around themselves? Ever get the feeling you're being set up?
Your paranoia is proliferating.
Don't you swear at me in Welsh.
In the library across the border, a spit away from the historic town of Chester...
It goes through back copies of the local paper.
On microfilm.
Of course. Modern technology, mate.
And eventually discovers...
The name of the building company.
Makepeace.
That's a shame.
And a story about a councillor.
Colin Roberts, age 52.
Who committed suicide... Allegedly because an affair with a prostitute came to light.
I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry to have bothered you. I'm sorry to have compounded your grief. Goodbye.
Dear, oh dear.
What?
Wrong move posing as a journalist. I don't talk to journalists. It was journalists who hounded my husband to his death. You are a disgusting profession. If you want information, go and talk to the scum on your own level. Like that tart Miranda Rain. Well, I would do if I knew where she lived.
Your next door neighbour said you'd be here.
She's not in. You'll find her at the church. She does the flowers on Tuesdays. Indeed, she does. And there he introduces himself as a writer, and they make small talk for a while. But she knows why he's there.
I know what you're thinking.
Miss Ray.
Mrs. You're thinking, how can a woman in my profession be so devoted to the church?
Well, it had crossed my mind that...
The two are not incompatible if you read the Gospels.
Well, I never really did. I don't like books where I know the ending.
I've got two kids and a husband who ran away.
I'm sorry.
Oh, don't be. I enjoy my work, some of it. They pay me to give them a good time, and I do. Of course, the good citizens of this town tried to hound me out, but the church supported me. I presume that's why you've come. About Colin.
Surprisingly eager to talk. Perhaps after 3 years of silence...
I'm researching a book about political corruption.
You don't look like a writer. Do you mind if I carry on with the flowers? Colin was set up, there was no doubt about that. Though obviously I didn't know at the time. I went to him, you see, he didn't come to me. Someone paid me to go to this hotel. I was supposed to be a birthday present for him. One step up from a strippogram, the man said with a wry smile. Oh, I wasn't bothered. Didn't care who paid. That night when I approached him, he thought his luck was in. He didn't know I was on the game. He just thought I was a bit of talent in the bar. A month later, he came back to me desperate. He were being blackmailed. They had photos of me and him going into a room hand in hand. Worse.
Who was blackmailing him?
He didn't know, but whoever it was wanted him to resign. Months before, he'd been offered bribes for something which he'd refused. He was certain there was a connection. They wanted him to stand down from the council or they were going to the press. Colin refused and the story was printed. The usual stuff. Councillor's night of kinky sex on the rate. Don't know why they bother with me when they didn't make it up like they usually do. I had reporters round here coming to the church. The lowest form of life, Mr.
Jones.
Anyway, Colin couldn't stand the disgrace.
Killed himself.
Car exhaust. He were a nice man. But where sex is concerned, men are so weak, don't you think?
Why didn't you go to the police?
He was dead. What difference would it have made?
Were you threatened? Then why are you speaking to me now?
I don't know. It's a long time. I'm a Christian. But I'd deny it all if you wanted to take it any further.
Who paid for you to go with the councillor in the first place?
He said he were a friend of Colin's. A big man with glasses. I never knew his name and I never saw him again.
Is this the right way?
A5 through Snowdonia to Bangor, yes.
What's this place called?
Petrus Coyd.
Pretty.
American tourists rubbing shoulders with ardent and experienced rock climbers.
Very nice. So, what do you reckon?
There's a connection between the building firm and councillor?
It has to be. Well, it's a shame the name's Makepeace. Nothing to do with SBL. And how do they all tie in with Valmai and the Secretary of State?
Perhaps the truth of the matter is they don't. You're jumping to conclusions.
Never let the truth get in the way of a good story. Besides, I'm a sucker for conspiracy theories.
Distracted by conspiratorial images and the climbers that line the route, about to make assaults on huge rocks in atrocious conditions, he has failed to notice a large car that's been following him for some time. Until, that is, he rounds a bend and starts up a hill where there is no one else in sight.
Oh, what the hell?
And the car overtakes him.
This is air thing, he's stupid.
And then cuts in, dangerously.
What are you doing?
Now, I didn't say there was a connection. I said their aims and sympathies lay in similar directions.
Well, as Secretary of State for Wales, Mr. Rushton, you should know better. It's a cheap smear.
Now, Mrs. Morton, the fact of the matter is that these fires, the newspaper offices, the brewery, have been done in the name of nationalism.
Perhaps you'd be better informed if you'd ever lived here. I am a nationalist. I don't support Melville of the Rhine.
Nevertheless, Mrs. Morton...
We know what you think.
I thought he was a friend of yours. Oh, out!
I said I'd met him once or twice. That doesn't mean I like him.
Blaming Milwira Drive seems to get more convenient by the minute. It seems it might be a wee bit more complicated, you can. I mean, I go to see a lady of the night about a minor political scandal. And on the way back, someone runs me off the road.
You sure it was deliberate?
Oh, you don't drive like that by accident. Oh, oi!
It's a bad cut. You should have gone to hospital.
Nah, I prefer the nurse I've got here, thanks very much. Oh, be careful.
Hold still, then.
Didn't Seanad say those hecklers at her meeting had a green Mercedes?
Coincidence?
Maybe. But, you know, all day I've had this sneaking feeling I was being watched.
Here, hold that in place. You should tell Gordon what's happened. The police ought to know.
No, the police can find out in their own way. Can I tell you about my problem now?
Concerning me?
Well, to start with, I find you very attractive. Oops, said the wrong thing, Milky.
You've been kind and you've been generous, but this is all very inappropriate given the circumstances.
Your aunt.
And the rest.
Danger makes me horny. Sorry. Anyway, the problem is...
Yes?
Nothing. No, as you said, inappropriate. Thank you.
Don't forget Angela's waiting for you in the pub.
Now, there's another attractive girl.
She's catching the last train back to Manchester.
Angela? Well, I thought she came from London.
Perhaps you can come up with a plausible theory between the two of you.
Well, where are you going?
To the hospital.
No, but I've got another problem.
Really?
Yeah, how am I going to tell Sharon about the car?
you have to keep on reversing the charges.
Oh, come on, Sharon, I haven't got any change. Anyway, you're loaded.
If you used a private phone, you wouldn't need change.
No fear, they've all got ears.
What are you up to?
I'm researching my book.
Oh, yes.
I'm still meeting self-proclaimed arsonists in the much-spoken-about hillside. It's all getting a bit airy.
Vis-a-vis the car.
Well, it is insured, isn't it? No, actually, it's just a couple of dents in the front.
How big are these dents?
Sharon, can you lend me some more dosh? I was supposed to sign on today.
Francis.
Oh, and by the way, I'm madly in love with your client.
Ah.
Speak to you later.
Why?
I don't know. It's the vulnerability, I think. It makes her incredibly sexual.
Sometimes I think you wear your brains in your underpants.
Shut up, you.
Why did they force you off the road? Were they trying to frighten you?
Well, no idea. It's not exactly the everyday story of country folk, is it?
Look, I'm going to Manchester. There's a guy I used to work with. He's an expert on Welsh affairs, particularly politics and economics.
Boyfriend?
I'm married.
Is that relevant? Where'd you stay last night?
Why?
Well, because my room upstairs has a double bed and it seems a pity to waste half of it.
Oh.
No, it's a shame you're going.
Look, don't bother with the chat.
No, it's just surrounded by all these Celtic nutcases, half of whom speak a foreign language.
Foreign to you, not to them.
No, don't start splitting hairs. That's academic. No, it's all very nice, this Welsh number, but it's quite flippy now and again to have someone around who's English.
I'm Irish.
Oh, well, I'll go to the foot of my Guinness.
And did you get the reg number of the car?
Well, I was more worried about my good looks at the time. No, I do know it was an F reg. Well, that's a point. I must ask Shonid what number she took down.
What?
Nothing. One of them wore glasses. They're not as trendy as mine, of course. And one of them had a pockmarked face. How do I find out about Makepeace? Who owns it or whatever?
Oh, I'll do that. I have the contacts.
Oh, it's a real bummer it wasn't SBL. I thought it was onto something then.
Well, I'll check them out as well, just to be thorough. Look, you ought to go to the police, you know.
Well, people stop saying I ought to blab to plod. There are two principal reasons, dear Watson, why that course of action is inadvisable. One, rather like the second law of thermodynamics, which states that the nature of all matter is chaos. None of what's happened seems to have anything to do with anything else. Hello? Am I talking to myself here? You're just a mirage after all, Ange.
Look out there.
What?
Through that window, the phone box.
Ange. Angela, where you going? Oi!
Excuse me.
Yes, lady.
What are you doing?
Ange, what's the matter?
British Telecom.
At 9 o'clock at night, you can't go and come out in daylight as a rule.
Don't British Telecom have vans rather than white Volvos?
Look, let's do our job, okay?
The listening device you've just taken out of there.
Lady.
A bug.
It's a serious offence interfering with British Telecom business.
British Telecom? Pull the other one.
Watch your step, lady. We could involve the police and you'd be in a lot of trouble.
Aye.
Would you believe?
The nerve. Not even the middle of the night.
So I got the number this time. Pity it wasn't a green Merc.
Same men?
No. Curiouser and curiouser.
This time we'll have to involve the police.
Platform 1, Bangor Station. The train just arrived from Holyhead will call at Llandudno Junction, Colwyn Bay, Rhyl, Flint, Chester, Crewe and Manchester. Passengers for London change at Crewe.
It's definitely a listening device. I've covered stories on industrial espionage before. We have to go to the police.
Yeah, okay, don't nag. But let me get Beth to ask Gordon to run a check on that number first. He's Val's next-door neighbour. And despite his profession, he's all right. Let's find out who owns that car, then we'll tell Blue Bottle.
You're paranoid.
I'll get on if I were you, girl. It's about to go.
Well, now we know how someone knew Val had a letter from the Welsh office.
Yeah, it makes me a bit twitchy. I mean, I made all my calls from there. Maybe that's why someone's been following me. And not just the Green Merc.
I'll see what I can dig up, as they say, and come back in a couple of days.
Come back? Don't you have to work?
This is work. It's a story.
Oh, and you're in first class.
Oh, perk of the job, Milky. Can I ask you something?
Well, they say it's a free country, ha ha.
When I arrived yesterday, I detected a certain amount of aggression from you. Was I imagining it?
Well, about the same time I had a run-in with the police, I had a run-in with the press. It still stings.
Well, we're not
all... But now, Ange, I think you're super smart, intelligent, full of integrity, wonderfully courageous, and as far as I can tell, you've got very nice breasts. Sorry, sexist remark.
I'll let it pass just this once.
Shame you're married.
Why's that?
Well, I'm not.
I'll be in touch. All phones attached. Doesn't matter which number I call, does it?
It's nearly not funny, Ange. I mean, who's tapping who? And why? Beth, look, I don't think we should be coy anymore. There's a mutual attraction between us. I think I should get my toothbrush from the pub, since it's all I've got with me and I've all that here. Move in and tell you what my little problem concerning you is all about. What's wrong? You're as white as a sheet.
Valmy's dead. I'd been back from the hospital half an hour and they phoned. I suppose it's murder now.
Or manslaughter. Is there anything I can do? Hugh?
He went from the hospital to see Dewi and Sean. He doesn't know yet.
Do you want me to stay with you? I'll go for a walk then. I need a fag.
You've given up.
And now I'm about to start again.
So just as Rhys is about to close his doors, the Englishman demands a packet of 20 and a large scotch.
I'm entitled. I'm a resident.
And then, dejected, he walks off into the night. In the distance, black and intimidating, the mountains underwrite his mood.
The countryside gives me the willies. There's something disturbing about mountains at night. Give me the dangers of Deptford High Street any time.
Walking to the end of the village, past the last houses, the lights in the bedroom signalling the end of the waking day.
I had a right balls up of that, didn't I?
You weren't, no.
Renowned for my timing. What's going on, eh? Bloody rain. I couldn't live here, you know. The silence would drive me bonkers.
But the silence is sullied by a car drawing up behind him. No headlights, and not in a hurry to get anywhere. He turns quickly, half expecting a green Mercedes. But it's red, and a Ford.
Hello?
Get in.
Three men, large, threatening.
What?
Get in.
Hold on, who are you?
Oh, help! Piss us!
Impatiently throwing him against the side of the car.
Get in, will you?
But his struggles are fruitless, and he's thrown unceremoniously in the back.
All right, just tell me who you are.
No answer as the car, driven by a silent man with deep and narrow eyes, drives off at great speed.
What's this all about, eh? Where are we going?
Don't you.
All right.
You want to keep that face pretty? You keep your trap shut. You're in deep, deep trouble, matey.
In episode 3 of Burnt by Nigel Baldwin, the teller was Ray Smith, Milky Dennis Waterman, and Bethan Jones. Angela and Miranda Rain were Tara Dominic, Hugh was Richard Elvin, and Pauline Helena Jones. Sharon was Emma Gregory, the phone man Terry Dauncey, Rushton Timothy Bateson, and Rhys Terry Victor. Original music was by Laurie Scott Baker. Burnt is directed in Wales by Jane Dauncey.